morning. Merry Christmas. It's awesome to be here on this Christmas Sunday. A lot of family and friends are here from out of town, maybe in the area that are here this morning. When I think about Christmas, I think about some of the stories that are told at Christmas. When we gather around as families, we tell these stories. And then there's one story, which maybe might be your story, because maybe you experienced the same thing, was a story that happened when our oldest, Isaac, was 1.5 or so at Christmas time. Now, you know, as being the firstborn, you know, there's a special excitement with that, not knowing exactly what's happening with all that. And, you know, we wrapped all these nice gifts and had them underneath the tree, and we put a lot of effort in wrapping those gifts. Grandparents were there, and the grandparents with the video camera were there to capture every moment. And the grandparents brought gifts also, and they could not wait to see that child open that gift. And so there was Isaac. He's a little more rambunctious than he is today. He was pretty amped up about this whole thing, and he went to open up this first gift. And he went to open up this gift, and he tore into that wrapping paper like there was no tomorrow. And he ripped it open, and he's doing all these things. And he got there, and he opened up the box, and he threw the box back, and he got the toy. And they captured that with a video camera. And a wonderful moment. And Grandma and Grandpa were smiling, and we were happy because it was going just as planned. Until we got ready to give the next gift, and we noticed that Isaac was not playing with the gift. He was playing with the box. You know, his parents and his grandparents, you know, all that time and effort. And I remember turning to Dawn, I said, we should have just got him a bunch of boxes. We were a little disgusted. It's like all that work and all that thing. And, you know, as funny, as silly as that story is, it's actually easy to do. It's not just the first child, but for all of us. We can get caught up in the wrappings, the traditions, and the celebration of Christmas, the box, and miss the gift. Christmases can come and Christmases can go. And they go in and out of season. And we can celebrate without ever connecting to God during this season. And when we do, we hear the story of Christmas. And see, for many of you, you grew up with this Christmas story. So each year, the same story is repeated time and time again. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that that story has kind of lost its punch. The story of Christmas has lost its edge. And it's hard for us to get excited about that every year when we hear about the story. And what can tend to happen is Christmas can become part of Christmas legend. So today we're going to look at a passage in the Bible. One of those stories are so familiar. But we're going to look at it a little differently this morning. It's found in Luke 2, the story of the shepherds. Now you know the story. On the very night that Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph are there in this stable and the manger, and Jesus is born. Not too far away from that location, out in the hills somewhere, there the Bible tells us there were shepherds. These shepherds were doing what they do every other night. It was a beautifully starry night, probably like many other nights. And it was probably a little bit of a chill, and they were gathered around the campfire, keeping a watch over their sheep. And the Bible tells us that suddenly, without notice, an angel appeared. They were startled. They were startled because of this angel appearing before them. And when that happened, everything changed in human history. The angel of the Lord appears to them. The very presence of God appeared to them. We know about the very appearance of God because we read that also in the Old Testament when Moses would go up to the mountain and he would be up there with God and he'd come down off that mountain and the people down below would see that Moses had a glow. The glow because of the presence of God. And here at that moment with those shepherds, the same thing was happening. The glow and the presence of God had come among the shepherds. The Bible tells us that the place was flooded with the presence of God. But the shepherds were afraid, okay? This has never happened before. And we read in Luke 2, verse 10, it says this, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord." Now back in the day, if a famous person, a well-known person, had a baby, there was an announcement. There was an announcement by someone called a herald. And that herald would announce the birth of this very important person. And we sang a song this morning, right before the sermon, that said this, "Hark, the herald angels sing." The announcement of the Christ child, this Messiah, the one we talk about leading up through Advent, this come, thou long expected Jesus. This pronouncement, the angel announcing the birth. But what is unique is not so much that a herald announced the birth, but it was who the herald announced the birth to. Can you imagine that in the history of the world, the most important announcement of human history was given not to people in palaces, not to give it to the religious leaders, not given to Rome or Greece or other important places at that time, but this announcement was given to shepherds out in the hills. I have to be honest with you, I don't know a lot about shepherds. I mean, if there's no shepherds in my backyard, in my neighborhood, I don't know if there's any shepherds in your neighborhood. So sometimes when we think about the shepherds and the sheep, we look in the Bible, we kind of associate shepherds with, like, it's a Bible thing, that shepherds are Bible things. But shepherds were pretty prominent back in those days. But the angel announced the birth to the shepherds. These shepherds in that time, in that part of the world, were the outcasts. They were the lowest in the food chain. They were the ones who were uneducated but considered dirty. I mean, they didn't live in town. They lived out in the hillsides. They were not well respected in society. They lived on the margins. In fact, you could say they were invisible. They were invisible because people would walk by a shepherd and not even acknowledge him. Now, we don't have shepherds today in that sense. But if Jesus would have came this day, at this time, in this part of the world, who are the people he would come to? Who are the shepherds of this world? Who are the invisibles? The visibles. And I thought about that. Who are the invisibles? We don't have to be shepherds. We don't have to live long ago to understand the invisibles of our world. See, we don't even have to go on a macro level to understand invisibles. We can go to the micro level. We can go into your world, into the places that you encounter to see the invisibles. Is there people at your work that you walk by all the time? Maybe they don't have status as well as you do. Maybe the ones you walk by, maybe you don't even notice them. That's the invisibles. Maybe people at school, for some of you younger people, the ones that maybe aren't the coolest or the best. Those are the invisibles that people don't recognize or reach out to. Oh, we could throw in the normal ones, the homeless and the outcast. And we tend to take these ideas and we look at the macro level and say, yeah, those invisibles out there, yeah, we really should help them. But what's amazing to me in this story, the story of Christmas, is that Jesus, when he came and when the angels, the herald, announced it, he announced it in the micro level, right to the people that were in that area, that were with earshot of the birth of Jesus. They were the invisibles. But God picked the invisibles of that society to announce the most amazing thing in all of history. Why? Why did God go to shepherds? Because the good news was this: I bring you good news of great joy for all people. And so it makes sense. It doesn't make sense in our world, but when Jesus took things and made it upside down, it made sense because he went to the least of these. He went to the shepherds to announce it. He went to that to say that all generations from here on out will understand that the good news is for all people. And he started with the lowest, the shepherds, to say that this gift is from everyone, from the lowest to the highest. And this gift that God gives us, if I can just give an honest moment here about myself, to kind of peel back a little bit about some of my struggles in my life. And you might find this hard to believe because I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to have these things figured out. But when he said that God came for all people, sometimes in my vulnerable moments in life, sometimes when I take a look to my left and my right, sometimes it's hard for me, yes, your pastor, to believe that God loves me. Oh, I believe God loves the world. I believe God is loving. But sometimes the hardest person to believe that God loves is me or ourselves. Because see, I see more than you see. I understand what's going on inside of me more than you understand. I see the cracks and the sin and the messes. And see, I would totally get it. I would totally understand if God would just walk right by me and walk to you. Because I know God loves you. And I know God loves you. And God cares for you. But if he would just walk by me, I would understand it. Because I would say, you know, what value do I really bring to the table? Because see, God knows my failures. He knows my mistakes. He knows my past. He knows my history. He knows whether I've been good or bad. But he loves us anyways. See, this Emmanuel, this God thing, God with us, seems to suggest that he doesn't look past us. He doesn't look past me. He looks right at me. And he says, you are loved. And I thought about some other things that happen in our lives. See, sometimes we have a mom or a dad, a spouse or a friend who has this very unique talent. It's a very specialized talent. This talent that they have is this: they have an amazing gift at finding all your faults. I mean, they're like savants. They can find everything, every mistake. They can bring it all up. They can put out a litany for all the mistakes and things that happen in your life. And what tends to happen is they define you for who you are. And you start buying into it, and then you feel like that's who you are. And there's people here today that I know for sure that those people, those ones with special unique talents, those savants in your life, maybe aren't here anymore. But you still hear that echoing. You still hear them hurling insults at you. You still hear their voice in your head and your heart. And when you hear that, sometimes then you translate that into, that must be who our Father in heaven is. He must be the savant. He must be the one who knows everything, and he does. And because of that way, and people take insults at us and go after us, and it makes us think about certain things, we tend to put God into that box and say, God, I know you know everything, and you judge us, and you convict us. But that's not true. God did not come to this world to judge. God came to this world to love us. And there's many people that are not in the church today. There's many people who do not pray because they have been through that. They have those savants in their lives, and they translate that into who God is. But God sent his son on Christmas because he loves people. God did not bring his son into the world for everyone who got it all right. But God brought his son into this world for everyone who didn't get it right. The invisibles, the ones who have messes, it's not just for religious people. This gift that he offers at Christmas is for everyone. But I want to pause right here for a moment and say this. God has come for everyone. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. But let's not stop there. Let's not put a period on that. When he says he came to love all people, that's the first part of the good news of Jesus Christ. But the second part is this. He came to transform us. He came to love us, but to not leave us right where we're at, but he came to transform us because he loves us so much. And he desires us to live transformed lives, to make us the children of God. And then it goes on, the story of the shepherds. The angel said, hey, go. And see the baby. And I can imagine what baby? And I can, maybe the angel said, probably didn't say it, said, the only one that's in a manger in the area. And he went on. And since the Bible says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. So the angel comes and tells the shepherds to go and see the baby. Now Dale mentioned this a little earlier. There's a tendency for us at this time of the year to take these verses and to translate that there was a choir of angels that came down from heaven. And that may be true. And that could be what was happening. But I think if you really look at the text and what it says, it doesn't say anything about that. It didn't say that they came down like a Hillsong concert or a worship fest or a creation festival. It said the word host, which doesn't mean hospitality, but it really translates to mean an army, an invasion. It was not a concert, it was an invasion all around them. And this is the coolest part of this story to me. Here were the lowest of the lowest, the invisibles, got to see something that very few got to see into human history up to that point. When God did something amazing, he took this veil between the natural world and the supernatural world, that veil that we have in between us, that we only get to see the natural part. We don't get to see the supernatural part. But the shepherds had an amazing moment where God peeled back the veil and let them see both sides, the natural and the supernatural. And when they did that, and this heavenly host, this armies, this is what the shepherds saw. The shepherds saw from their left to the right, on every hill and knob, everywhere they could see, they saw a vast amount of angels. Vast means this, beyond calculation. So can you picture the shepherds looking out and seeing on every hillside and everywhere millions and millions of angels all around? These angels,
These angels got to see something so amazing when God pulled down the veil and let them see the natural and the supernatural come together. So this moment, when he pulls down the veil, you can say, well, Lynn, what is this all about then? Well, this is the moment. This is the moment when heaven invaded earth, when the kingdom of God has come, when the angels are declaring the purpose. They're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When I read that verse, I'm struck back or forward to where Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer and said, teaching us how to pray. And he would say, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That seems to be what is happening here, that the angels are coming and they're saying, in heaven, God is glorified, God is praised, and now God is sending his son down, that now he came here on earth when heaven invaded earth. God sent his son, and he came to bring shalom, the shalom of God, this peace between God and man, this peace between each other. It also means this. It means that when heaven came down and started invading earth, that Jesus came, the reason he came was to bring an end to evil, to hatred, to suffering, to violence and oppression and of all kinds. His kingdom was going to come unto earth looks like heaven. That's good news. And then secondly, it says God is pleased. We read that, we say God is pleased. It doesn't mean he's happy with everything we do, but he's not just to judge us, but he wants to deliver us and transform us because he loves us. Christmas changes everything. And it started to change from that first moment with the shepherds when the kingdom of God came. And here's where we get caught up sometimes. We talk so much about our eternal life. And yes, that's so important. But in this story, and the message that was being brought here was this. Not so much that we go to heaven, but Christmas is this. It's about heaven coming to earth. It's not an excavation plan, but this was a revolution. That revolution to set us free. With the freedom comes joy. We sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. This freedom that people talk about, this great joy, when Jesus returns, the kingdom will fill the earth and there will be no more evil. This idea done on earth as it is in heaven, in this fallen world, is hard for us to understand. We have this good news and we're waiting for Jesus to come again. But you know, we don't have to wait for certain things. We don't have to wait for things when we're dealing with stress, anxiety, fear, relationship issues, wondering about our future. Jesus came holding things and help us to release those things that we can have freedom. Those things that bind us every single day. Those things that bring us down, that makes us less of ourselves. And this good news of Christmas is this, that when we have stress and anxiety, Jesus can bring us peace. When we have grief and loss, Jesus can give us comfort. When we feel broken, Jesus can make us whole. Oh, there's so many questions out there. There's so many things that we wonder about. And I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the answers. But I know this, that you can know joy if you know Jesus. So on this Christmas Sunday, if you get nothing else, get this. Christmas can change everything. Christmas is an invitation. It's a gift. God's Son to us. And at the end of the day, past the wrappings, past the box and the celebration, is the gift itself. See, to me, the greatest tragedy, the one that I think about all the time, the greatest tragedy of Christmas is this, that so many people are hanging on to the box and the wrapping paper. And they have missed the greatest invitation to all people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And my prayer today for each one of you is this, that maybe this Christmas will change everything for you. Let us pray. Lord, as we look at our life, we want freedom. Lord, there's so many things that burden us in this world. Lord, we want to be set free from the chaos that just seems to be run rampant throughout this world. Lord, we want freedom from the impulses inside of us that keep gnawing in us and not letting us be free. Lord, there's many of us who relationships have been strained, and it's binding us. It's not allowing us to be free. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to forgive our sins, to help us to lead a life to whom you will be pleased. Lord, you create us to be your children. And Lord, when you sent your Son Jesus to this earth, and that first announcement to those shepherds, the lowest of the lowest, you gave us two things. You gave us good news for all people, and you gave us an opportunity where Jesus does not lower the bar, but Jesus raises the bar that we can live holy lives for him. And I pray, Lord, that in this Christmas season, we don't get so wrapped up in everything all around us that we can receive the gift that is not only here for December 25th, but is life-sustaining and life-giving for all people. We ask this in your precious name, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.